sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Chuck Barrett, the play-by-play voice of Arkansas football and basketball. In just a few minutes, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. All with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Look, they go over with a fine-tooth comb. I mean, you always wonder, like, what am I getting here? Well, at Sunbury Motors, they've gone over it. So that guarantee means everything to you, the consumer, to you, the buyer. Great sales staff. Your trade-in's never been worth more. They're going to work hard to save you money. You're like, oh, yeah, they want to make the sale. Well, of course they want to make the sale, but they want you to make the sale this time, and then they want you to come back because of the great experience again, and then down the road come back to them because you had a great experience. I mean, that's how it works. That's what customer service means. The sales staff, that's what they're all about. And a service department that is just outstanding. Inspections, great. Routine maintenance, great. Something difficult, great. Really, Sunbury Motors is one-stop shopping. That's why they have so much repeat business. People go there and they feel like they're taken care of for the lifetime of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Chuck Barrett, in a few moments, but our play-by-play call today, I'm just going to go back to Sunday night. The reason I'm going back to Sunday night, because I just feel like it puts a smile on Matt's face when Washington fights on the sideline.
Washington is ticked off. We're seeing a lot of aggression here, even on the sideline, between the defensive linemen having to be separated, having a few words for each other. But, D'Angelo, as you were saying, when you start a game like this and you are just getting defeated, somebody's going to be ticked off and say a few things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep, they sure did all right. Nothing like being on a team. It's great. Oh, my goodness. What a moment that was on Sunday night. All right. So what do you know about Arkansas football? I'm going to guess most of you don't know a lot about Arkansas football because they've never been on Penn State's radar before. Arkansas football has not really been on Penn State's radar since, now you'd say 1969 when they played Texas, but they probably have not really been on Penn State's radar since 1982 when they tied SMU 17-17, when Bobby Collins kicked the extra point, went for a tie, and that opened the door for Penn State to win the national championship. This season started out great. Really slumped in the middle. Then they beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. You're like, oh, all right, so what? But see, that game played a role in what we're seeing with Arkansas football. And with that, we bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Arkansas Razorback Radio Network, Chuck Barrett. Chuck, what a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to visit with you, Steve. I look forward to seeing you in Tampa.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it very much. This is an interesting season. Great start. Georgia was an awakening. And then the finish. What turned things around that allowed Arkansas to have the finish it did, Chuck?
Well, I think a couple of things happened. They had a rather easy opponent before their open day. And they were able to rest all their guys in the second half, which basically gave them 2 weeks of open time to heal and to kind of, you know, replenish, if you want to use that word. And I think psychologically they did a really good job of managing the schedule. I think they knew early on they had a chance to win some games. I think they knew Texas was beatable. I think they knew that they were catching A&M in a vulnerable spot. In October when they hit the skids, they played teams that were a whole lot better.
Right.
And I think that there was some realization that that was probably going to happen. But once you got past that open week and you got to November, the schedule kind of turned and the teams that you played then weren't quite as hot. And I think psychologically when they turned that corner into November, it was very similar to the way it was at the start of the season. We got some winnable games here. And I think that's been the real key for them this year is, generally speaking, they've won the games they should have won.
Chuck, I want to get to KJ Jefferson. You know, I've now watched probably four different Arkansas games, tapes, and so forth. 21 touchdowns, three interceptions, plus the ability to run. Where is the maturation for him that maybe you didn't see earlier with him, last year with him?
Well, it's really been remarkable. And I think, to be perfectly honest with you, if you took a poll of every Razorback fan out there, the overwhelming majority at the beginning of the season really wondered if KJ was going to be the guy. Because from what they'd seen, there were a lot of reasons to believe he might not be. But the players and the coaches all during the summer kept saying, you're going to be surprised. And he is really, you know, we knew he had a great arm. We knew he could throw the deep ball. And he was a little rough early in the season with the intermediate passes, the short passes. I mean, sometimes they'd come out 100 miles an hour. But he's become a very good passer in addition to, you know, having a really big arm. And, you know, I would liken it to basketball. He's a point guard that sees everything. And he's a big kid, and he can run over people, and he can run around you and make you miss, or he can lower his shoulder and bowl you over. And he's been very, very effective as a runner and a thrower. But I think as a passer, he has far exceeded what people's expectations were.
Chuck, I know Johnson's been, for the most part, the lead guy back there. There's, what, four tailbacks. What has allowed him to be the first guy that Sam wants to turn to back there?
He's a physical runner.
Yeah.
He's got speed. He's kind of like KJ. He can make you miss, but he can lower his shoulder. Coach Pittman likes a big running back. Some of the holdovers from the previous era were smaller running backs. And Dominique Johnson's a guy that kind of fits that bill. He's 235, and he can be a workhorse. Now they've got some other guys that are good. In fact, some of them probably have more breakaway speed than Johnson does. But, you know, Johnson's the one really as the season has emerged or as the season's worn on. He's the one that has kind of shown that, you know, he can be available for 18 to 20 carries. You know, he's durable and he'll hold on to the ball. So, he's been the one that they've turned to. He's not the only one, but he's been the primary one down the stretch.
Burks, obviously, I mean, every single video I watched, he's just absolutely a phenomenal player, first-round pick. Without him, where do you expect them to turn? Is it Warren? Is it Morris? Is it Knox? I mean, who is it?
That's a great question, and I think that may be the question. Burks was his comfort zone. I mean, that was where he went, particularly early in the season. I mean, that was where he went. And, when you got a guy like that, that's a psychological weapon for a quarterback because he knows he can go do it at any point. I wonder if we'll see KJ try to make more plays with his legs. I wonder if the offense will feature him as a runner a little bit more in this game. They've had a lot of really good complementary receivers to Burks, but nobody's Burks. And so, you know, the idea that you're going to, you know, have a first-round draft pick step up, that's just not going to happen. So they'll committee it, I'm sure. They'll use the tight end, I'm certain. But I can't help but wonder if we'll see Jefferson run a little bit more.
Right, you know, because, I mean, obviously Parker Washington and Keandre Lambert-Smith are going to be the two guys you'd expect to step up at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, guy that stands out to me up front is Ridgeway. What does he mean to that defense?
Well, he was a plugger up front, and that's a good observation. He has taken on the double team. He's a blue-collar guy. He's a portal guy that we got in here and didn't know what to expect. He's one of these quiet farm boys. I mean, just country strong. He's really been a force in there. And the defensive lines allowed those linebackers to roam and run and do what they do. And I think, you know, you've got to be good on that defensive line to be good, period. And He's kind of been the anchor there, and he's been a really good addition. And again, he's kind of like Jefferson in that he's exceeded people's expectations.
Which sets up, as you mentioned, Chuck, the linebackers. I may be extremely prejudiced, but I feel like I work with the best linebacker that ever lived. Those linebackers, Henry, Grant Morgan, Bumper Pool, I mean, Parker, really good players. I want to ask you about Grant Morgan because, like Matt McGloin here at quarterback won the Burlsworth Trophy. What allowed Grant to go from being that walk-on to being the type of player we see today?
Well, I think a couple of things. And I think if you're being entirely candid, for a walk-on to get to play early in his career, it means some of the other guys probably aren't very good.
Right.
Some of the guys that you've offered scholarships to aren't very good. And Grant began his career at a time when we weren't very good. And so he found a way to the field. And he just, you know, he's not going to play in the NFL. And that's the thing when you look at all of these linebackers. Poole's the only one that's got a chance to play pro, and I don't know if he will. But, again, I'll go back to that defensive line and just allow these guys to run. They're not big linebackers, but they can run, and they will hit. And they're veteran guys. You know, Morgan's been here 6 years now. And so, you know, Henry's an older guy, and Poole is too. And so they understand the game, and they know how to play the game. They know how to make up for their physical deficiencies. And I would say that, you know, those guys have that's, in my mind, frankly, been the biggest surprise, because I think that defensively that's been our biggest deficiency since we joined the SEC in 1992. We've not been able to match up at linebacker. These guys are not NFL players, but they're really good college linebackers.
And you and I both know you can win with really good college players. I think sometimes that's left out of the equation. I don't think sometimes people get that part. Monteric Brown has, what, 5 picks this year?
Mm-hmm.
As you watch him play and develop, you know, what has impressed you about him, how he plays the ball? Is he the kind of guy that can bait a receiver?
Well, he's pretty good technique-wise. He's a very good athlete. And that athleticism allows for him to make up for some things here and there. Obviously, he's got a nose for the ball. He's a guy that was really heralded coming out of high school. He's a small-town Arkansas kid. The level of competition was well beyond what it would be for a high school player who'd played in a higher classification. And so, you know, there was some adjustment period. And again, we went through a period where we weren't good. But I think when Coach Pittman came in and the staff came in, and he got better just like everybody else did. And, you know, this is a guy that's turned into a really confident player. And at that position, I mean, you got to have a short memory. Lots of these guys, and he did it when he was young. If he'd get beat once, he'd get beat twice. And I don't know that it's that way anymore.
What is, you know, Sam Pittman comes in after being at Georgia, and obviously there's been a lot of work to do. Through 2 seasons, what have you seen Sam Pittman? What has been his impact and imprint on Arkansas football?
We're a physical football team now. We had lost our identity. We had gotten away from what our identity as a football program was. It would be like Penn State not being a bruising type of physical program. I mean, it's just not who you are. And we'd gotten away from that, and we weren't very good at it. And he came in and he restored that physicality. I can remember saying the day he was hired, I don't know how many games we're going to win, but the days of us being pushed around are over. We're not going to be pushed around anymore. And he's instilled a physicality along the lines of scrimmage. You can't win big unless you're good up front. I don't care which conference you're in. And we weren't good, and we've gotten a whole lot better. Maybe not championship level yet, but light years ahead of where we were. And he's a real football coach. He's an old school guy out there on the field. You hit every day. And I think that's what we needed.
Finally, Chuck, Penn State and Arkansas have never played before. What's been the level of excitement for this game? Because Arkansas has never been to the Outback Bowl before.
Well, I think it's neat to play Penn State. I think that's what our people are excited about. It's a brand program. We all remember Joe Pa. We remember all the, I go back as far as, John Gaffoletti. So it's a brand, and I think our people are excited about playing that. It's a sign of success when you play Penn State in a bowl game.
Chuck, looking forward to it very much. Arkansas has put together a fabulous season, and it's just the beginning for Sam and the Hogs. It's really been a terrific turnaround they've had.
I enjoyed visiting with you, and let's get down to some really warm weather. How about that?
Chuck, that's a great idea. Appreciate you so much. Thanks so much for being on the show today. I am really looking forward to seeing you down in Tampa. That is Chuck Barrett, the play-by-play voice of Arkansas football, also Arkansas basketball. Great to have him on the show today. Again, this is one of the fun elements of this particular game is that somebody Penn State hasn't played. Never played before. And so I think that brings a little more intrigue to it. Probably didn't know a lot about Arkansas football and basketball before that, especially Arkansas football you didn't really know about. It is up to the point where I've done so much on this game that I have now seen I saw them play Texas. I saw them play Georgia. Texas, they played great. As Chuck mentioned, he said, look, Texas is soft. And he's right, Texas is soft. And that's one thing Arkansas is not. Sam Pittman, as he pointed out in his last answer there, that Sam Pittman, during the week, they hit. They hit because he wants to bring an element of toughness to the football field. That's what he believes in. He was the offensive line coach at Georgia, and that's the philosophy he's brought to Fayetteville. So I saw them play Texas because I wanted to see a game where they played great. I saw them play Georgia because I always want to see a team in a bowl game when they get smacked in the face and why. Georgia was just that much better. Arkansas seemed a little intimidated. I saw them play Missouri because that was their last game. And I thought they played, a workmanlike game. The first half, they were okay. Second half, they were very good. I saw their LSU game, which went to overtime that they won. That was just a good, tough, hard-nosed game down in Baton Rouge for the boot, which they won. And, of course, then I wanted to just see Alabama because it ended up being a really close game that Alabama won by 7. So when I see Arkansas, between the 5 I've watched, when I see them on New Year's Day, it'll be the 6th time I've seen them. Now, Penn State, I'll freely admit, I think I've seen them 13. This will be the 13th time I've seen them. Excluding practices. But it's... part of this is who's in, who's out. Arkansas will not have Arkansas will not have Trey Williams, their defensive end. They won't have Treylon Burks. They also won't have their kickoff guy, who is like Jordan Stout as an automatic touchback guy. They won't have him. He's transferring out. He's had enough. With Cam Little he'll probably do all the place kicking in the game, probably do all the kicking in the game. And, of course, we know what Penn State's situation is now with players not being there. So, look, it's part of it. You have to adjust to it. I know Chris Wheeler and I were exchanging texts on Christmas Day about all this. And I said, you have to adjust to the times. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Jack Ham next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with that all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over their pre-owned inventory with a fine-tooth comb. And it's so important. I mean, that Sunbury Motors guarantee means so much to you, the consumer. By the way, you, the consumer, your trading's never been worth more. You have a sales staff that's going to work with you. Because, look, repeat business means everything. Well, we want to hook you into being somebody that goes to Sunbury Motors repeat business all the time. And it's one-stop shopping because the service department is phenomenal. Inspections, right? That's where you want to take it for your inspections. Routine maintenance, anything difficult, they'll take care of it. All right, all of that and much, much more at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15. Almost Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So let's get to it here now. Penn State football against Arkansas. We know that Ellis Brooks, of course, opted out. He's been so banged up. You know, and Jack and I could not blame him for opting out. Brandon Smith opted out for the NFL draft. You know, right now, the, quote, veteran at linebacker is Curtis Jacobs. And, Jack, Curtis Jacobs is a guy that he played the field linebacker, which allowed them to move Brandon Smith inside. You watched him all season long, Jack. What kind of job did Curtis Jacobs do at that field linebacking spot?
I think Curtis Jacobs has been one of those guys who has really helped to make this defense one of the most outstanding defenses this year. And the key for him is just getting comfortable in playing in space. And now you see him blitzing off the edge. You see him making tackles in open field. All year, guys who've made catches against our secondary, but there were tackles right there. Once they made the catch, it wasn't yards after the catch, and he was a big reason for that. And better, getting better and better in the passing game. So, the arrow has pointed up for Curtis Jacobs and had an outstanding year, and I think his best years are still out in front of him.
There's no question there are certain players that should go to the draft when the opportunity presents itself. Saquon Barkley was a perfect example of that. But Jaquan Brisker and Jahan Dotson both elected to come back for this particular season. What kind of payoff did they have by coming back, in your opinion?
Well, I think you talk about making a critical decision in when you're a young man, and both of these guys made the mature decision. They realized they bet on themselves. They bet that they are going to have an outstanding year in their last year at Penn State, and both guys, Dotson and Brisker. If you see Brisker out, whether he's blitzing or trying to make a tackle at the line of scrimmage, the burst that he has, which is different than everybody else out there, and that's what Brisker has brought to the table. And I didn't realize, and maybe this year showed it for me, was the fact of how good a man-to-man cover guy Brisker is. So he is never going to be a liability going to the next pro football era for him. He will never be a liability in the passing game on man-to-man coverage. He's very, very, very good at that, very physical player, and a guy who just made himself into one outstanding player. You saw him get better every year and had an outstanding year this year.
Now, what about Dotson? Because some people have wondered about his burst. They saw everything else. But then I thought the Maryland game where he took the 86-yarder and just ran away from everybody – we had heard he was 4.33 in the offseason. I felt like that was the point, Jack, you and I saw that come to fruition with him.
Oh, and here's the guy with the yards after the catch. And after he makes a play downfield like that and understands where to go with the football and then use that outstanding speed he has, another guy who just worked himself into being one of the best wide receivers in college football this year. But along with that burst, he worked on his weakness and made that a strength. But also, he's one of the best route runners out there. When you saw him a number of different times run those post-corner routes where he makes it look like he's going to the post and then plants that foot and breaks off that back to the outside, and he's open by 2 or 3 yards against the defender, and then he makes a catch. So many times this year, Steve, I thought the ball was over his head. the great leaping ability he has. And he's a guy, you'd watch him every game. He catches everything in his hand. There's no body catches with him. He's so confident as a wide receiver catching the football that he'll go out and get it and see him snatch the ball out of the air so many different times. And just, you know, again, like Brisker, made himself better and better each year. And, you know, I think he also made himself a whole lot of money by coming back to Penn State for his senior year.
Yeah, no question, Jack. And there's another part, too. You talk about him being the route runner. As somebody who had to defend really good route runners, what does a really good route runner do to create separation just by precision?
Well, when you're on the defense, whether it's a linebacker or a defensive back, I mean, you have got to honor whether, in fact, if he goes to the post on those plays, you're in the trail position, and that's going to be a touchdown. So you've got to either, a lot of people have tried this against Dotson, either go up on the line of scrimmage and try to bump and run him or whatever. But, you know, Penn State offense, he's done a good job of putting him in motion, getting to the point where he's not getting jammed at the line of scrimmage, and then he gets into his route. But you don't see many guys in college football, Steve, that are that disciplined in route running. And, you know, guys round things off, then they find out in the pros you can't get away with things like that. He is right now ready to go into pro football, and because every time, it doesn't matter whether that ball's coming to him or not, he's still going to be precise in his footwork and on his breaks, and then you got to honor that almost every time. That's why this year, for the last probably, you know, three quarters of the year, they were trying to bracket him, put two people on him that opened it up for Parker Washington and other people.
Jack, back to the defensive side of the ball, because you and I both know that's where the games are won. You know, so.
Exactly. I knew it my whole life. But
you finally made me realize that. But a guy like Arnold Ebiketie, on a defensive front that has had its fair share of injuries during the course, and then obviously this past week, illness as well, what kind of impact has Ebiketie had, and what do you see in him as a defensive end that obviously something we didn't know when he came here?
Well, first of all, I think the fact of all the injuries we had, you know, we were thin at defensive line going into this year, and then we get the injuries, and Isaac being out for the entire year, you know, PJ missing most of the season, or at least more than half the season, and Beeman also being out as well. And then, you know, like I said, we had some guys getting banged up. Ebiketie has been that guy who has stepped in. And we all knew that he was a really good pass rusher. And I think he even surprised me how well he was able to do that all year long. But how well he played against the run. I mean, people thought the fact, okay, he's a designated pass rusher. But how about when they try to hammer the football, power football, which is a big part of the big-end running game? He has been able to step up there, you know, take on double teams at times, take the inside gap, but get underneath the offensive tackle. And you saw what a great game he had against Michigan and making the big plays late in that football game. But the fact that the surprising part was the fact how well he was able to play against the run all year from that defensive end position.
So now I want to get to the other side, and that's Jesse Lucchetta. Now, Lucchetta's at one point, he was a corner at one point in his life. Then, of course, he comes to Penn State as a linebacker, and now combination linebacker, defensive end. Jack, you talk with him all the time. So when you talk with him, what kind of football IQ does he bring to the table along with his athleticism?
Well, I think that's a part of a lot of the football players that people aren't really aware of. I mean, because at this level in college football and also in the pro football, I mean, a lot of times those plays are made or not made because of mental errors, mental mistakes that people make out there. Jesse Lucchetta, and you just alluded to the fact of how many different positions he has already played. But he is not only that, but he is kind of the emotional leader of that defense. And he gets this football team on edge, ready to play. His quickness on the outside, that gives the offensive tackles a problem when he uses speed rush. But he's also a guy, he's a 100% guy. He's going to make plays all over the field. He has a lot of effort plays that he's able to make. And a couple of times in the latter part of this year, where that quickness in taking the inside gap on an offensive tackle and getting up the field and making plays in the running game. Also chasing down plays from that defensive end position as well on the other side of the field. But I guess the thing that really surprised me as well when they have that play action fake and they're trying to get a tight end out and roll left and then the quarterback bootlegging out, he's smart enough out there again to stay at home, get out the field, and contain that quarterback so he doesn't get outside the pocket. He hasn't really played defensive end until this year, and he's just a smart guy on the field. And I'll tell you what, you need a lot of guys like Jesse Lacheta in your defensive lineup.
And there's another part, too. I know that when you move closer to the line of scrimmage, your hand work has to be really good. But at defensive end, when you've watched him hand fight or how he uses his hands to get rid of somebody, how impressed have you been by that?
Well, I have been impressed, but that's a pretty good carryover because as a linebacker, you are always going to, you're not going to take on the old forearm shivers or whatever. You're taking people on offensive line or tight ends with your hands and keeping people away from your body. The leverage in getting underneath on the offensive tackle, those are things where you're going to get his shoulder, make that angle a little bit sharper coming off the edge like that, and he's doing that with his quickness. But that hand fighting, your hand placement, getting underneath that offensive tackle, making sure you have leverage underneath him. But you try to set him up by using your speed to get up to field quickly on him as well. Those defensive tackles and defensive end, you watch him practice throughout the course of a year, and they are constantly working on hand placement. How do you take on an offensive tackle? How do you make sure that you have leverage? How do you make sure your shoulder pads are underneath him? And those are kind of the things that, you have to out-technique people, I think, and that's how you end up being a solid defense. And this defensive football team has done that all year.
This will be one of those where you and I pretty much know where Ellis Burks has been coming from all season long. There are three different things he's had to deal with, and we're not going to detail any of the three. The one that's obvious, obviously, is the cast he has on. When you see the smarts to go with how he's played with everything he's had to play through, what is your thought, Jack?
Well, you know what? He's one of the guys that I probably talk to every day when I'm up there at practice, Steve, and I have been so impressed. The way in traffic, playing inside like that, there are people coming at you from different angles. This is not an easy position to play. And I just talked about how important your hands are for linebackers to keep offensive linemen, keep separation so they can't get to your body. It's very, very difficult. And I saw him playing the last four or five games with that cast on, and it is difficult. But you know what? He is one tough football player that he doesn't even know the meaning of the word excuses out there. He still continued to make tackles. He did not miss tackles. And the average fan out there wouldn't even know he had a cast on his hand. He was always kidding me about the fact. Now I've got an excuse for not getting interceptions downfield. But there is a player. You know, you talked about Lacheta. Brooks is the other one who was just a delight for to be able to coach these kind of guys out there. But Brooks is probably the unsung hero. Hasn't got all the accolades he should, but he is a guy who has just done an outstanding job and kind of the glue to that defense.
One of the keys for James Franklin is recruiting early on is that he recruited Blake Gilligan, who is now excelling with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, a punter, but he can change field position, get you out of trouble, drop the ball inside the 10. Gilligan made a great difference in this program. What kind of difference are we seeing now with Jordan Stout in this role right now for Penn State?
Well, you know, with Jordan Stout, I've talked a lot about this defense and how well they have played all year. You know what? Well, Jordan Stout can take some of that credit as well, because a lot of times when you're inside the 20-yard line coming out, it is very difficult for a normal offense to go up against the defense. You're probably pretty more conservative with your play calling. And it's an advantage to do that. Now when you have Stout punting the football inside the 20, sometimes inside the 10-yard line, with a defense like Penn State has had all year long, that's even more of an advantage for the Penn State defense. So, you know, you can take them, you can put it a little more pressure, Pry can call a different blitz packages or whatever. We're still taking care of the back end, making sure there's not a big play. But you have a lot of different options you have defensively, especially with the talent they've had all year. But with Stout and the Gunners going downfield and making sure that ball you make a team go 80, 90 yards to score against our defense all year, that's advantage Penn State defense. So, like I said, South starts it all off by great field position for the defense when they go out on the field, and you can do a whole lot of different packages to, you know, playing defense that way.
And obviously can put an offense into a short field if you play complementary football like that. We've talked about, obviously, a lot on defense because the defense has excelled so much. On Saturday, we saw Tyler Warren make another big play in the offense. When those tight ends are in gear, Jack, how good can the Penn State offense be in part because of them?
Well, I think that is the key. Whether it's the tight end or the backs out of the backfield catching the football, that's just another level. It's another challenge for you, for your defense out there, and making sure they don't have to cover Dotson. And like I said, a lot of times bracket him, Parker Washington, who's made big plays out of it as well. And then that third wide receiver, whoever that could end up being, Lambert Smith, and, you know, Cam Sullivan Brown, and then Megan makes a big play on the game last week. Getting the tight ends involved, and I thought maybe this year I may have expected more out of our tight ends, but they seem to be coming on now at the end of the year. And Strange has done a good job down in the red zone area, blocking well on a touchdown run last week. But Lee, he took his man all the way into the end zone. So you need them beginning of the year or midway. They weren't blocking all that well. It just seemed like right now our tight ends are starting to get it. They're starting to get open in the passing game downfield. And that option for Clifford is huge to have another level. You know, you can have the tight end seam down the middle. You can have him, you know, dragging across, the making that third level there for your quarterback to take a look at. And all of a sudden now, the more they make some catches downfield, the more confidence they get. And with Strange, Johnson, and Warren, those guys are talented guys, and the future should be very, very bright as a tight end position.
My broadcast partner for the last 22 seasons a Penn State football, with a 23rd coming up for the two of us next year, Jack Ham. How fortunate am I that when it comes to broadcasting games, I have Jack Ham sitting next to me for football and Dick Girardi sitting next to me for basketball. There is nobody in this business that has it any better than I do. Fun show today. Our thanks to Corey Geiger, Tony Knopp, Arkansas play-by-play voice Chuck Barrett, Jack Ham. Tomorrow's show, Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, coming up on the show tomorrow as well. And Nate Bauer from On3.com. It's quite a lineup tomorrow. Donnie Collins, Nate Bauer, Frank Bodani, Rich Scarsella. Sounds like a group of winners. A lot of Penn State football talk coming up tomorrow on New Year's Eve. Fun show today for us, and hopefully you enjoyed it as much as we did. And like I said, the opportunity to see another team you hadn't seen before, I think that was part of the intrigue of the Auburn thing this year when Penn State played Auburn. Man, Penn State hadn't played Auburn since the Capital One Bowl, for goodness sakes, in January 1st, 2003. Had never come to Beaver Stadium. In fact, they were supposed to come to Beaver Stadium in 1983, and they decided not to show up, and Penn State played Brown instead. But this time they did show up. It was a big win for Penn State, an exciting night with the whiteout. And then the intrigue is going down to Jordan-Hare next year when Penn State plays on the Plains next September. Well, they flip this ahead to Arkansas. You know, program Penn State's never played before. It's not like they've never played a role in Penn State football history, because they have. They've definitely played a role. That 1969 game with Texas, obviously, played a role. President Nixon presenting Texas the national championship trophy, much to the chagrin of Joe Paterno and the undefeated Nittany Lions. They tied SMU in 1982, 17-17, which then opened the door for Penn State to win a national championship. But on the field, they never played each other. That's what makes it fun. 10:30 the airtime, and 12:05 the kickoff on Saturday from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.